Just amazing. God's love is amazing. I can't remember what the song. Hallelujah. God's love makes me sing. I didn't realize that we were going to be singing that song, but as I was singing it along with you and we were praising and worshiping God, His love is amazing. The way He takes care of us, the things He does for us, is absolutely insane. It is. It's just crazy how great the Father's love is for His children, the way that He just loves us unconditionally, and He just pours out His love day after day after day. And it's just crazy. Equally as crazy is how much we take it for granted, how much we don't recognize it and see what He's doing. You know, we've gotten into this little bit of a series about love, what love is, looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and looking at the importance of love and how it comes about. And it all started, and I'm just going to give you a little brief history again there this morning. It all started with the 747 principle. In Luke chapter 7, verse 47, the idea of he who is forgiven little loves little. Get that in your heads. He who is forgiven little loves little. And coming into this process, this understanding, this idea of we want to love lots. We recognize that we've been forgiven lots. And so God's requiring us, He desires of us to love lots. But so many times we've gotten this idea of love and we've got it all mixed up in our heads. We've forgotten what real love is. We've bought into the world's concept of love. And God's trying to say right now to you, He's trying to say, forget those ideas of love. Look at what my love, how I express my love to my creation, and then I want you to use that motivation to spread that type of love to the people that you know. I want you to love like me, God is trying to say to us. I want you to love lots. I want you to love in the manner that I've called you to. Let's look at what this love is. Take a look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We hear it at all kinds of weddings. We hear it over and over and over again. But you know what? So many times we misunderstand the meaning of God's love. It starts at verse 1. It says, now I will show you the most excellent way. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. And now I will show you the most excellent way. Man, if someone says something like that to me, if someone says, I'm going to show you the best way or the most excellent way, my ears need to perk up and listen. Because this is important. He says, if I speak in tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, which is really cool, if you could speak in the tongues of angels. But he says, but I don't have love. He says, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries, how awesome would that be to have the ability to fathom all the mysteries of the world? You could tell where the deeps came from, the water came from. You could tell all the mysteries that Job, when God is asking Job, he says, do you know this? Do you know that? And Job is just getting lower and lower and thinking, no, I don't know any of those things. But if you could fathom all the mysteries of the world, how incredible would that be? But it says right here, he says, and all the knowledge and have faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I'm nothing. He says, if I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. And then here he comes into the definition of love. He says, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it's not rude, it's not proud, it's not rude, it's not self-seeking, it's not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. That's God's definition of love. And you know what? It's an extensive definition that we don't, even trying to just read it, it overwhelms me. Trying to break it down piece by piece has been overwhelming to me. The last week, I've just been looking at one aspect of God's love, His kindness. Looking at God's kindness. You can ask Nathan, my desk is always a mess. But especially so this week, I've got papers and books and things that I've been reading about God's kindness and looking through God's word and how kind He is. And you know what? We've forgotten it. We have literally forgotten how kind God is. There's all kinds of definitions out there of kind. I can go to the Greek, I can go to the Hebrew, I can go to all the different definitions in the dictionary, all these different places that are wonderful, and they're interesting because they're all coming at it from a different perspective. But my favorite definition I found of love is this, or not love, my favorite definition of kind is this. It's kindness is love, I love this, kindness is love with its work clothes on. Just let it sink in. I could give you all the fancy definitions, but this is it. Kindness is love with its work clothes on. It's ready to get dirty. It's ready to sacrifice. It's ready to get sweaty. Oh, I like that definition. That's a good one. Kindness is love with its work clothes on. You know what it reminded me of the very first time I read that? I can't remember where I read it. It was in one of the things I was looking at. When I read that, kindness is love with its work clothes on, you know what it reminded me of immediately? I mean, the very first thought I had was Jesus. Because if you think about it, Jesus is God with his work clothes on. That's what it is. He made himself in the image of man. He literally confined himself into one of these human bodies and put himself in the place of humankind. He put his work clothes on. And he came down and he expressed God's love. That was kindness. That's love expressing itself in tangible, real, feeling, emotional, hands-on ways. I challenged myself this week, and I'm scared about doing this because it'll probably get messed up, but I challenged myself this week when I got that idea, that concept, that kindness is love with its work clothes on, or love, kindness is love with the work clothes on. I challenged myself to think about Jesus and the Gospels. And what I'm going to do it. It's probably going to fail, but I'm going to try it. All right, so I got this little experiment we're going to do. Rainey, give me one of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. Pick it. Which one? Matthew, the book of Matthew. All right. So Rainey's picked the book of Matthew. So Dawn, give me a chapter, just a number in the book of Matthew. Chapter 12. So everyone, this is an experiment. Could fail miserably. But let's take a look in Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. I did this like a dozen times myself this week, just with myself, and I didn't, you know, I don't have it. You're thinking this guy has way too much time on his hands, but maybe I do. Yeah, it's all over the place. You can't escape it. I mean, all I've done is just glanced at Matthew chapter 12, and it's, of course, Jesus because it's in the Gospels. But look at what he's doing. I mean, every aspect of Jesus' life is kindness expressing itself. If you look at this, he says, beginning at verse 1, it says, at that time Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry and began to pick some heads of grain and eat them. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, look, your disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath. And he answered, haven't you read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and his companions ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for them to do, but only for the priests. Or haven't you read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple desecrate that day, and yet are innocent? I tell you that one greater than the temple is here. If you had known what these words mean, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. You would not have condemned the innocent, for the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. You know something really interesting? I didn't know that she was going to pick Matthew. I didn't know that she was going to pick chapter 12. This was completely unset up. But this idea of mercy, when it says, I desire mercy, not sacrifice, that word mercy right there can actually be translated kindness. As a matter of fact, some of the translations that are out there, saying your translations have kindness in that passage right there. It can actually be, that word mercy can actually be translated in kindness in the same spot. And not just that word being in there, but just look at what Jesus is doing. Every day of his life, every day of his life, he is being accused, all right? Every day of his life, wherever he's going, whatever he's doing, he's being interrupted. I mean, he's literally just walking through a grain field with his disciples, and he's got people that are putting an eye, a judgmental eye on him, and calling him out on it. You know what? If he was a normal man, He probably would have blown up. But he doesn't blow up. He takes it as an opportunity to teach. And he shows them kindness. He shows them the truth. He shows them that he's looking for, he's bringing mercy, he's bringing kindness in the world, he's not bringing this judgment. You know, the world needs more of this. They need more people that are walking around with the idea of kindness and love in their heads, because it's getting out of control. I mean, it's getting crazy in our news when an act of kindness, get this, an act of kindness these days hits the national news. Have you noticed that? Because it's so unusual, it's so strange that someone does something kind. It's out of the ordinary. Think about it. A little kid does something that he should be doing anyway, an act of kindness, and it makes the national news. Someone buys a meal for someone behind them in the drive-up line at McDonald's, and it makes national news, and it sets off this great big chain of reaction that this is what we should do. You know what? That should be our natural response. That should be a part of who we are. Why do I say that? Because that's who God is to us. God is a loving, kind God who's watching over us and taking care of us every single day, but we're not seeing it. If I would ask you right now, how do you know that God is kind? What expressions of kindness is God giving into you today? How has God showed his kindness to you today? If I was to ask that question and said, raise your hand when you got it figured out and tell me what it is. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Oh, now we're thinking. God's doing it every day. There's a passage in Jeremiah. Oh, 17, Jeremiah. It's on this page of the notes, I think. Jeremiah 9. It just floored me when I got to read this. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23 and 24. Jeremiah chapter 9. By the way, we could do that experiment over and over again. We could have someone say one of the books of the Gospels, one of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You could look at almost, I'm going to say every chapter of every aspect of the Gospel, and Jesus is showing kindness in every single chapter, story after story. He's either healing, or he's listening, or he's reaching out. He's providing, he's giving people food. In every chapter of the Bible, in some way, I'm going to challenge you this afternoon. If you're bored and can't stand watching TV, football's no longer on, who wants to watch hockey, you know what I'm talking about. Pick up your Bible, open the Gospels, any page in the Gospels, and read that chapter and try and look at how Christ is showing kindness to this world. Look at the example he's setting in every single chapter, even at the point of the cross. He's looking down at it and says, you know what? No longer your son. This is your mother. This is your son. He's showing kindness at every aspect of his life, every step. He's showing kindness. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23, it says, this is what the Lord says. Let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, or the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches, but let him who boasts boast about this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord. He says, if you want to boast about something, he says, don't boast about your strength or your wisdom or your money. He says, if you want to boast about something, he says, boast about your understanding of your knowledge of me, that I exercise kindness and justice and righteousness on this earth. He says, if you want to boast about something, boast about what God is doing in your life, how he's expressing his kindness every single day. You know what? I'm going to tell you, it's hard to think of it at times. I remember when I first started thinking, okay, how is God showing me kindness every day? And I was stumped. When you first start thinking about it, you're kind of stumped because he does it each and every day, without our recognition, without our praise, without our worship, and it doesn't even matter if you love him or not. He's doing it. He's showing his kindness to everyone. He says the rains come down on everyone. He says the sun comes up on everyone. He gives everyone a night to sleep. He watches over you. He provides for you. Whether you recognize it or not, he's the one who gave you your job. He's the one that gave you the ability to work. God is the one who's provided the food on your table. He has. And whether you thank him or not, he's doing it. He's the one who's given you the health to be here today. He's the one who provided the doctors when you haven't felt good. He's the one who gave the doctors the knowledge. He's the one who gave the people the technology. He's the one that put the plants on the earth to give us the medicine to make us feel better. He's done it all. He's the one. I love Nathan. We got talking this morning. He just thinks out of the box. He's like, he's the one who made food taste good. You think about it, food is just there to make our bodies keep going. But God in his kindness and mercies made it taste good. Sometimes too good. You want me to mention the other one, Nathan? He's a little bit weird, too. I don't know. There's a lot of young kids in here. There you go. How did you know it was there? You just did. She said, you know what? I could put. He said, be fruitful. But God made that enjoyable. It didn't have to be enjoyable. Some of you are wondering what I'm talking about, and that's okay. God, in his kindness, every single day, he's just pouring it onto us. Every single day, he's just showering his kindness on us. Whether we deserve it or not, whether we recognize him or not, he's giving us kindness. He's put his work clothes on in the form of Jesus Christ, and he's expressed that kindness to us every single day. Why does he do that? Because he loves us. You know what? And the other reason he does it is because he wants us to express that same kindness to one another. He wants us to be kind to one another. He wants us to put our work clothes on and recognize that he's given us a job to do. He prepared it in advance for us to do it. He wants us to love one another. And part of that love is not just being patient and sitting back passively and saying, I'm being patient with you and so on and so forth. He's saying, I don't want you to just be passive with your love. He says, I want you to be active. I want you to be my hands and my feet. I want you to be my mouthpieces. I want you to be my ears. I want you to go and I want you to do. The problem is, we understand that. We know that. And we know that we should do it. And so because God said and he commanded me to love, then I'm going to go out and I'm going to love and I'm going to go and I'm going to be kind. The trouble with that is that kindness wears out because the motivation that we're doing it for is because we think that's what we're supposed to do or that's what I'm commanded to do. But the motivation that we have to have in our life, what's going to motivate us day after day after day to be kind, even when people are not being kind to us, is recognizing that God is kind to us. That's our motivation. That's the thing that fills our well, God's kindness. Because when I try to be kind to someone, and I do every once in a while, I try to reach out in some way, shape, or form, and they reject it. I'll just say this. Some people just don't understand. They don't get it when you're trying to be kind. When you're trying to be loving. It's become such a foreign thing in our world that they become suspicious of what your motivation is. Why are you being so unkind to me? I mean, they literally do. They almost reject you because you're trying to be kind. You're trying to help them. You're trying to provide for them. You're trying to just do something extravagant for them that they just don't get. And they almost reject you to the point. And so it's very easy in this world today to start becoming, well, if they don't appreciate it, well, I'm just not even going to do it anymore. You know what I'm saying? It happens so quickly in our minds, but we have to understand the motivation for our kindness is not their reaction to us. The motivation for our kindness to the world is because God is kind to us. His well has never run dry. He shows his kindness to us every single day. And the thing that has to happen, we have to open the hearts of minds of our hearts. Eyes of our hearts. We have to open the eyes of our hearts to see God's kindness every day and allow that to fill our well of kindness. Allow that to fill our well of love in our life. If you don't see it, you're not going to be able to do it. Some of the things that God is doing for us. It's just amazing. Should we go through all these passages? He provides. Let's just take a look at them very quickly in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verses 17 through 19. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 through 19, it says, Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth. Well, just think about that for a second. Why would they be rich? God gave it to them. I get so tired of people thinking, oh, I've earned this. Yeah, you've done something maybe to get that money, but God provided that. He provided that opportunity. He provided that knowledge in your head. He provided that idea that made you get onto this track. He provided those opportunities. He provided the family that you were born into. He provided that wealth for you, and he didn't provide that wealth for you just so that you could be wealthy. I don't know where that came from, but that was perfect. Did the light bulb just come on for somebody? He gave it to you. I love the God. He provided that thing to wake you up. Not to put your hope in wealth, which is so uncertain. And I love that. He provided it. He gave it to you. And he can take it away. It reminds me of Bill Cosby. I brought you into this world and I'll take you out. He gave you that wealth and I can take it away. Remember that. Ding. Oh. Which is so uncertain. But to put their hope in God. Put your hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. God provides everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, to be generous and willing to share. Does that sound like kindness? Let's listen to that again. If you want to know how to be kind, listen to what it says. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasures for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so they may take hold of the life that is truly life. You see, it tells us so simply that God is providing for your every need. The amazing thing is that God's not just providing. He's watching over you. He's taking care of everything that's going on. God's the one who wants to listen to you. You know, one of the best ways that you can be kind, if you don't have great wealth, if you don't have great means to be able to give generously in some way, you know what the greatest gift that most people need today, honestly, is someone to listen. They just want someone to listen to them. Take time. Your greatest resource you have is not your money, it's your time. Because once it's gone, it's gone. And people understand that. And for someone to just come and listen to them, someone, listen to their heart. Just stop by and visit with someone for no reason. Not because you want something, not because you need something, just because you want to stop and visit. We don't do that often enough. You know what? Probably the greatest part of my ministry, probably the greatest joys, is when I just have time to go and just stop and visit with someone. And you know what? To be honest with you, Satan does a great job of getting in my mind, I'm too busy and it's going to be a waste of time. He does that. I'm just being honest. I think, oh, it's not really worth it, or, you know, all these different things. There is no greater joy in my ministry and the things that I do on a day-to-day basis than when I literally listen and take time to just stop and visit with someone. And it might be stop at their home. It might be stop at the gas station and visit just for a little bit. It might just be to stop and listen, because people want to talk. They want to know that somebody cares. If you don't have great means, just take time to listen to people. You know, God does that for you at any point in time of your day or night. It could be 3:00 in the morning. If you want to talk, guess what? God's there to listen. because he's kind and he cares. If God's calling you to anything today, be kind. Take some time to listen to what's going on in each other's life. Care. How did God show his kindness? He sent his one and only son. He came to me. He didn't wait for me to go to him. God came to me. He reached out. He came to the earth. He sought us out. I love the parables of Jesus about the lost coin and the lost sheep and all the lost things. It wasn't like the lady sat in her house and said, "Oh, I lost a coin. I'm sure it'll stand up someday and it'll show up, I'm sure." She searched the house. She swept it clean. The shepherd, he left the 99 behind. He went looking for the one. You see, God searches people out because he's kind. Because he loves you. That's what he's calling us to do. He's asking us to start reaching out. To start loving in real, honest ways. To see what he's doing for us and then do it for those around us, and not just those who are going to do it back to us. Look at this passage. Where's it at? It's in Matthew chapter 5. Is that it? Someone help me out. There it is again. That's it. That dinger is really helpful today. Yeah, it is. Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 43. Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 43, it says, "You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor." Okay, be kind to your neighbor. And hate your enemy. That's what I used to say. But Jesus comes in and he says, but I tell you, love your enemies, and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil. He's kind. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. That's kindness. See what it's saying? He says, don't just be kind to those who are going to be kind back to you. He says, actually, real love, real kindness is really expressed the best to those who are actually being mean with you. Or your enemies. That's what he's saying. He says, if you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? He says, be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. He's saying, you know what? If you really want to have your life be an impact in this world, We all love each other, you know. If you love me, I love you. There's a commercial going on right now. Oh, it's for Me TV. Isn't that it? I'm sorry, my blind mind's just going a little bit crazy, but how's that go? I can see the little guy from the Rifleman, and he says, that's the only decent thing watching on TV anymore. There's nothing left to watch except for the old reruns of The Rifleman and Gunsmoke and some of those things. That's all there's left to watch. The rest of it is garbage. We're wasting our time watching all their stuff, and I'm probably wasting my time even watching those things. But it's that thing, I only love those people who love me, and that's kind of how we've gotten into our life. If you're nice to me, I'll be nice to you. But Jesus doesn't say that. He says, I want you to be nice to the people who are not nice to you. I want you to love your enemies. And you know why that is? Because you're going to have the greatest impact in this world if that's your attitude. Because it's so amazingly weird for a person to love their enemies, to show kindness to their enemies. Think about it. The person who you just grates on your nerve the most, if all of a sudden you start being kind to them, they would be so suspicious of your motivations and what's going on. But if you would continue in that kindness, no matter what their reaction is, no matter how they reject you, no matter how angry they get, you just continue being kind. You know what the Bible says that's like? It's like heaping burning coals on your enemy's head. You're thinking, oh yeah, I'd like to leave them. I'd like to put some burning coals on my enemy's head. It's not a punishment type thing. It's making them think. It's making them wonder. It's making them start looking at things from a new perspective. And that's what God's doing with us. He's showing his kindness even to the most ungrateful, pig-headed, hard-hearted Christians there are. Not even to mention those who don't believe in him at all. He continues to shower his kindness on them. One last thing. And I'm just going to encourage you to try it. And don't try it out of your own well. Open the eyes of your heart, seeing how kind God is to you. Start recognizing it. And then let it flow through you. Because if you're doing it out of your own power, your own motivation, or because Eldon said so, you are going to be miserable because you're going to get beat up and spit out and it's just going to be horrible. But if you're doing it because you recognize God is doing that for you and you're allowing your well to be filled with his kindness because your eyes are open to who he is and what he's doing, there's nothing this world can do because God's just going to keep pouring his kindness into you. Even in the midst of trial and persecution and all these different things, God's love is just going to continue to flow through you. I look at Paul, I look at the disciples and all the things that they face in this world, and everyone's trying to beat him down, everyone's trying to kill him, everyone's trying to stone him and do all these, put him in jail and all this stuff, and kindness just kept oozing out of these guys. Just kept oozing out and oozing out because they saw the love of God. They experienced it firsthand in the love of Christ. Here's the thing, last thing, Matthew chapter 5. We were already there, weren't we? Ding. Matthew chapter 5. I like that ding. If we could just get that in the right spots all the time, that would be wonderful. Can you work on that this week, Nathan? All right. That was pretty close. You were a little bit off, but it was pretty close. Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 13, he says, you guys, you who follow Jesus, you're the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? Think about this in the idea of kindness. If you lose your kindness, how can we make it kind again? It's no longer good for anything except for to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp or put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and give light to everyone in the house. And this is the verse I'm looking at, verse 16. In the same way, let your light shine before men. That's what we're talking about here. Yet let your light shine before men. The light that's in you is Christ Jesus. Let that light shine before men. And here it's very important. It says that they may see, listen to this very closely, that they may see your good deeds or that they may see your kindness and what? And praise your Father in heaven. This is so important. It's so important. The good deeds that we do, we can't let them be attributed to us. We can't let him go, oh, well, Eldon's such a good guy because he goes out and visits. Or, you know, he's such a good guy because he does this or all this sort of stuff. You know what? It's not about us. We have to communicate the truth of why we're being kind. It's in the name of Jesus that we're doing it. Make sure that Jesus, that God gets the credit. Make sure that they understand the motivation that you have in what you're doing. Because if you're just doing it for yourself, it's a selfish thing to get praise from men. Make sure that you're doing it in such a way that God is given the credit for the actions that you're doing, that God is your motivating factor, that God is the one who provided you the means to do those things. If you buy the dinner for the guy behind you in the checkout line or buy his lunch at McDonald's or whatever, make sure that the person knows that it's in the name of Jesus that I'm doing this. This is important, guys. Make sure they understand the motivation and the power and the provision behind this kindness. Because if we're doing it on our own for ourselves, it's worthless. Find out how God will continue pouring that kindness into you when we give him the glory. When we make sure that people understand it's because of Jesus that I have this changed heart. It's because of Jesus that I want to do these things. Not have to, want to. Love you. Share with you. Listen to you. Spend time with you. Go to where you're at and put my work clothes on. Because I love you. What's he calling you to do? Because when you walk out of the doors today, it's got to make a difference. You got to have a plan. You got to open your eyes to your surroundings and the things that are going on around you. And you got to recognize the reason that you're in that surrounding, the reason that you're in that circumstance is because God has placed you there for a reason. And he has a plan that he wants to accomplish through you. He wants you to be his hands and feet. What's he calling you to do? How's he calling you to act? What sacrifice is he asking you to make in order for the love of Christ to be made known in your neighborhood, in your home, in your community? What's he calling you to do? It's different for every one of us. But only you can start taking those actions. The first one is just open your eyes of your heart. And see how loving and kind our God is. And respond accordingly. Let's pray. Oh, precious Heavenly Father, Lord God, again, we just come before you, Lord, and we just want to say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that you are, all that you have been, and all that you will be. Thank you, Lord, for allowing the yoke that is upon us to be placed upon you, and that you allow us to follow along with you, Lord, because your yoke is easy and your burden is light. Lord, it amazes me how you express your kindness to us every day. My prayer is, Lord, that you do open our eyes, you do open our hearts, and then you open our lives to you. Lord, as you have called us, help us to respond. Help us to respond in loving kindness, with patience and mercy and grace. Help us to see the forgiveness that you've offered, and help us to offer that forgiveness around us. Lord, help us to be amazingly weird for you in a messed up world. Lord, we want to be your hands and feet. Give us the strength and the desire to do so, because we do love you and we want more of you in our lives. In Jesus' precious name.